Praise God. Why don't we just lift our hands and thank the Lord tonight and give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the Lord, don't you? Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, amen, if you would, turn with us to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. Praise the Lord. A few weeks ago, it's been longer than that now, probably a couple months ago maybe, I was doing some reading, came across an article that piqued my interest, shared it with Brother Caleb, amen, and it's kind of an interesting article. I wanted to share a little bit of it with you before we preach to you tonight, if I could. And there was a special elite group in the military during World War II. This group, they were members of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops. They were an elite force whose specialty was tactical deception. They're now better known, though, as the Ghost Army. You ever heard of the Ghost Army, Brother Guy? Never heard of them? They was disbanded in 1996. It's a troop of soldiers that doubled in Europe's theater as a troop, and that's a T-R-O-U-P-E, troop of actors. The unit was the brainchild of, one report has it, of Douglas Fairbanks Jr. The 23rd was essentially the Trojan horse builders of World War II, except that their wooden horse took the form of inflatable tanks, rubber airplanes, and elaborate costumes. Did you ever know that this existed? Radio codes that were made up just to fool the enemy. Speakers blared pre-recorded soundtracks into the forests of France to confuse the enemy. These props, or if you might would refer to them as advanced technology, were amazingly effective, doing what all good theater props will, setting a believable scene. The Ghost Army consisted of some 1,100 men in all, ended up staging more than 20 battlefield deceptions between 1944 and 1945. Starting in Normandy 2 weeks after D-Day and ending in the Rhine River Valley, many of those performances or illusions, that's what the men preferred to call them, illusions, took place, listen to this, within a few hundred yards of the enemy lines. Just a few hundred yards within the enemy lines, and all we had was inflatable tanks and rubber airplanes and soundtracks. It's amazing. They relied on what the Ghost Army termed awesomely atmosphere, creating the overall impression, I want you to listen to this, creating an overall impression of an omnipresent military force. Soldiers in the Ghost Army, they pretended to be members of fellow units, units that were actually deployed somewhere else. They would sew divisional patches onto their uniforms, paint other units' insignias onto their vehicles. The army would dispatch a few of its members to drive canvas-covered trucks, sometimes as few as two of them, in looping convoys that would create the impression or an illusion of an entire infantry unit being transported. Isn't that amazing? All of which went to serve the Allies' ultimate illusion that their military force was bigger and more powerful than it actually was. Part of the effectiveness of the Ghost Army came from the fact that it would employ real tanks and artillery pieces along with fake ones to make the dummies in the distance seem to blend in with the others. Isn't that amazing? The Ghost Army today is estimated to have saved tens of thousands of soldiers' lives with its deceptions and have been instrumental in several Allied victories in Europe. It accomplished all that by, among much else, taking the art of war, get it? Wonderfully, literally. That's amazing. When I read that, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Man, I mean, what did I wonder if they just carried around squirt guns on their, you know. They had to paint the red tips on the end of their toy gun black so to confuse the enemy. You know, I mean, can you imagine? But, you know, think about it for the Germans to be attacking and they're looking for a weakness. And they're looking to find some place where maybe the forces are depleted. And what you see is a great number of tanks, and you see airplanes, not knowing that they're made out of plywood and rubber, right? And that the trucks that you see transporting all these infantry are just making a loop. Just going in circles, making you think that there is more trucks than what you could imagine. You know, the thing that I thought was interesting, you know, they wanted to present this image that there was an omnipresent force. That what they wanted to do was create this impression that this military force was greater than what it actually was. That we were more powerful than we actually were. Amen. Tonight I want to preach to you, amen, on the paper tiger. The paper tiger. You look at 2 Corinthians, amen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice that says, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Amen. Casting down imaginations. Amen. Sometimes, amen, Satan loves to use our imagination. Right? Amen. Sometimes me and Sister Ruth are talking about it just briefly a little bit today, because sometimes you see this taking place and you see this taking place and your imagination starts running wild with you, and the next thing you've got going on is some great big drama that's taking place right before your eyes, and really none of it was happening. But Satan uses our imagination, right? He uses our imagination to defeat us or to keep us in a position where we are afraid to go forward, where we are afraid to advance, because he has made us imagine that he is much more powerful than what he really is. Amen. After I'd mentioned this to Brother Caleb, amen, I was sitting at Elko, I think, in the tabernacle there. Church was going on, and this phrase jumped in my mind. It's weird how your mind works. And this phrase jumped in my mind: a paper tiger. We got in the, and I told him on the way home. We started talking about. I said, I want you to look, find out what a paper tiger is. How many of you know what a paper tiger is? Ever had a paper tiger? You haven't? You never had a paper tiger? Right here's a paper tiger. Anyway, we'll come back to that. A paper tiger is a literal English translation of a Chinese phrase meaning that something that seems as threatening as a tiger, but does not withstand challenge. Something appearing to be strong and fierce, but in reality, it's all show, no substance, weak, and nothing to be feared. Nothing to be feared. The paper tiger is one that is outwardly powerful or dangerous, but inwardly is weak and ineffectual. The paper tiger. Do you know that, can I tell you, Satan is a paper tiger. He is a paper tiger. We printed this off on the printer downstairs, which is obviously out of black ink. Has plenty of blue, but running low on the black ink, all right? The paper tiger. I don't know. I know it's just a little picture, but it's there for just an illustration, all right? It's there just, I'm going to illustrate something with it. I wanted to have a big poster of a fierce tiger, okay? But I couldn't find a poster of a tiger. If I ever preach this to young people, I will have a huge tiger. I will have a huge tiger. But look, I mean, look at that picture of that tiger. Man, Tyler, you like tigers? Where's Tyler at? Is he asleep on us over there? Oh, I figured. Keon, you like tigers? Man, they're ferocious. They look so vicious. I mean, I was looking at pictures of tigers today, and I'm telling you what, some of them there, I mean, look at that thing with the teeth and that menacing look, that fearful look. If you came across a tiger in your backyard, it would be terrifying. It would be terrifying if you came across a tiger in your backyard. Can you imagine encountering a tiger? If the zoo called Brother Caleb and said, "The tiger is loose! The tiger's loose!" Hey, man, don't worry. It's Caleb in his new job. He's got a tiger outfit, and he's just going to lunch and forgot to take off his costume. That's all it was. He's going to be working at the zoo. I pray to the Lord that God, thank God that he answered prayer and got Caleb a job. Amen. But if the zoo hollered out, "There's a tiger escaped," you know what? Nobody's going to say, "Oh, wow, the tiger. Let's go see the tiger. I've wanted to see a tiger up close." Nobody does that. Everybody runs for the exit. Everybody runs for the exit. Nobody, because a tiger is known for its fierceness and for its being a mighty hunter and being deadly. And then as I was looking through those pictures, I came across children sitting on tigers. Like, you're kidding me. That parent ought to be arrested. Letting your child get their picture taken sitting on a tiger. I hope it was a stuffed tiger. Maybe that's what it was. But can you imagine the fierceness of a tiger? Satan. Hey, man, he comes as what? Brother Jonathan said, he comes out as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He presents himself as a mighty beast that would destroy us, that would intimidate us, that would instill fear in us, that would make us fearful to do anything for God or to advance in the kingdom of God. Amen. It brings fear upon us. But can I tell you, the devil is no more than just a paper tiger. He is nothing but a paper tiger. He wants you to think he's a mighty beast, but in reality, he's just a paper tiger. Amen. Yeah, just a paper tiger. There you go, King Anderson. Now, a paper tiger. You know, I was thinking about, man, you know what? The enemy, they try to bring up this big, like it's this huge front that they're invincible, that you cannot stand against the enemy. He presents himself as an opposing force that is so great and so mighty that it sends us into fear. Amen. To make us feel like we cannot go forward, or we cannot advance, or that we cannot receive what God has for us. Amen. Do you know the children of Israel, they allowed themselves to be deceived by a paper tiger when they could have went into the promised land? And they came back and they said, "Oh, man, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. We are so small, we can never overtake. Their cities are huge. Their walls are big. We can't take this." But there were two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, amen, our God is well able. Amen. What they were saying was, guess what? I know they're giants, but realize this, it's no more than a paper tiger. Amen. And you know what? It robbed the people of Israel of the blessings of God, the inheritance of God. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and they never could advance because, amen, because the enemy made them think that they were that the opposition was so much greater than what they thought. Amen. And you're here today, and you've been kind of at stagnant in your relationship and in your walk with God because of the thing that you are facing in your life. That paper tiger seems to be invincible, seems to be so large that you can never get beyond it. Well, I want you to know, amen, it is no more than a paper tiger, and victory belongs to the people of God. Amen. It is in our imagination that Satan works in our mind. He makes us believe that his power is so much greater than what it really is. He makes us feel like the problem is so much greater than what it really is, when in reality, it's a paper tiger. He makes you think you'll never have victory. You'll never overcome. You'll never get beyond it. But I want you to know you can have victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Man, imagination. Imagination. One man said the imagination is the largest nation in all the world. And it surely is. Because we let our imagination run away with us. Right? Yeah. Somebody shows you a rattlesnake fane, and the next thing you know, you think your whole house is full of rattlesnakes. Right? Somebody plays a tape of a roaring lion, and the next thing you feel like lions are attacking you. Imagination. Imagine. How many of you have ever had crazy dreams? Oh, yeah. Oh, I get those every once in a while. It's crazy, Brother Gay. It's crazy. Where in the world did that come from? Where there's not even a beast in the encyclopedia that looked like that one that I was trying to kill. There, you can't, I mean, I've never seen one picture. There's not even a dinosaur that looked as hideous as the thing that I was fighting in my sleep. Yeah. And then I woke up and the pillow was in shreds and feathers everywhere and, you know, foam all over the place. No, it wasn't that. But you know, it becomes so real to us. In a dream, it is so real. And sometimes Satan uses our imagination to paint something that seems to be so real and so invincible. And it's so convincing to us that we never want to advance or never try to go forward. Amen. It's nothing but a paper tiger. Amen. And you can have victory. Hallelujah. Man, just a few things here. Amen. Satan tries to get you to think that your sin is so great it can never be forgiven. He tries to make you think that you are such a bad person that you will never find forgiveness. He wants you to think that you've done something in your life in the past that you will never be forgiven of it, and you might as well forget trying to serve God or live for the Lord, because you're never going to be forgiven for that one act or that one sin. Amen. Don't let your imagination run away with you. Amen. Because that is just a paper tiger. Because the blood is greater, amen, than your sin. The blood of Jesus is able to wash away every stain and every sin in our life. Hallelujah. That sin is no more than just a paper tiger. And we talked about our Sunday school class today. We've been talking about our Sunday school class, amen, about the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost, the unpardonable sin. And I know that maybe many of you at some time or another, Satan has told you that you've committed the unpardonable sin. And therefore, you cannot serve God. You can't live for God because you somehow committed the unpardonable sin. And it's amazing how convincing he becomes. It's amazing how he makes us feel like that, man, I can't get, I've committed the unpardonable sin. I can't go to heaven. I can't live for God. I can't do this because now I've committed the unpardonable sin. And really, all it is a paper tiger. And it works with our imagination to make us believe that his force is greater. Amen. But let me tell you what. Amen. Satan is a liar. And he is the father of lies. Amen. And he has deceived you in your mind. Amen. Let me tell you. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. You can have victory over this. Hallelujah. Amen. If the Spirit of God's talking to your heart tonight, if the Spirit of God's talking to you right now, I want you to know you have not committed the unpardonable sin. If you have felt the stirring in your heart at any time, let me tell you, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. If you felt God touch you, and if you have felt a move or a tweak of the Spirit of God, I mean just the smallest little touch of the Spirit of God, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. Amen. If you can come into this house and sit here and listen to the Word of God, you've not committed the unpardonable sin. Amen. Satan's a liar. He likes to paint all this big stuff, you know? It's imagination. He uses our imagination. And he tries to convince us. He tells us this lie and tries to convince us that living for God is foolishness and that it's to no avail. He wants to make us think that, you know what, it's just, you know what, it's really not that important. It really don't matter. You know, all dogs, when they die, they go to heaven. And all people, when they die, they go to the dust. You know, like the dogs have it better than we do. Come on. Man, Satan tries to convince us, amen, that living for God and living a life for God and living holy before God is a waste of time. He wants you to think that, you know what, you live for God and you know what, you have problems, you have trouble, you have sickness, you have problems, you have financial issues and all this kind of stuff. Why live for God? Satan is a liar. He is a liar. Amen. Because I can tell you this. Amen. That it does pay to live for God. It does pay to serve the Lord. Amen. Yes, I may have a sickness now and then. Amen. But I know my God is my healer. Amen. I know I may have financial problems now and again. But I know that God is my provider. Amen. I know I may have trouble in my life. Amen. But I know who is my deliverer. Amen. I know who he is. Amen. Praise God. Man, it does pay to serve God. It does pay to serve God. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan wants you to make you think today that you can't live for him. That you can't serve God. Hallelujah. You can. You can. Amen. But you know, as Christians, sometimes Satan comes against and he tries to convince us of this lie. And he uses our imagination. Amen, to make us think that God will never heal us and never touch us, right? It makes us feel like he tries to say, oh, that's the thing of the past. God don't heal today. He tries to make us think, say, well, it's not God's will to heal. He tries to, you know, he paints this horrible picture of what it, you know, of how bad it's going to be. To discourage our faith, to make us wander away from God. Amen. He uses our imagination. You know that? He uses our imagination. But I want you to know, amen, he is no more than a paper tiger. He is no more than a paper tiger. Hallelujah. Because God is real. God does still heal. God will touch our life. God will meet our need. God will work in our life. Amen. Satan is a liar today. Hallelujah. He is a liar. He's just a paper tiger. He's tried to present himself as a mighty force to you. Something that you cannot overcome. He's tried to make himself out to be something mighty. Something powerful. But let me tell you, in the name of Jesus, amen, he flees. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. As powerful, as great as he pretends to be or makes himself out to be or makes you imagine that he is. Amen. He is no more than just a wimpy tiger. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah. Satan likes to work in our mind. He likes to work in our mind. That's where imagination takes place. Man, there's so many things. I had such a long list of things that Satan uses against us. And he makes you think that, you know what, you can never be delivered from what it is that you're facing in your life. You'll never be delivered. You can't be set free of this. This is a shackle. This is a chain that you're going to have to carry for the rest of your life. He's a liar. He tells you that, guess what, you, because of the family you come from, God will never use you. God will never be able to put a calling upon your life. God will never use you in the kingdom of God. You'll never amount to anything. Satan's a liar. Amen. Don't let the imagination run away. Cast down imaginations. Amen. I believe that is a stronghold that Satan uses in every one of us, is our imagination. He is an imaginary force. Amen. And you need to put him in his place. You know, if the German army would have realized at any time that at some place on our front line there was an imaginary force, that there was an imaginary force of rubber airplanes, plywood tanks, yeah, they showed pictures of the men moving the tanks. They were on poles, and they were walking, moving the tank to relocate it. Yeah, relocate it like it's a moving, you know, armored something, you know, and that like it's actually, and it's men down there, you know, men down there with little poles moving the tank. If they would have realized at any time that they could have smashed through that helpless and defenseless area, they could have probably pressed on to victory. But because of what they imagined it to be, it kept them in a place of defeat until they were actually defeated. And that's where Satan has you tonight. He's got you in a place where you feel defeated. Amen, but would you realize tonight that Satan is a paper tiger? Amen, and that if you break through and you put him to the test, I believe you'll see him crumble before you. I believe that you'll see the walls fall before you. Amen, and you can have victory in your life today. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. There is victory. Yeah. Brother Jonathan, I don't know how the enemy's been fighting you. I don't know how the enemy fights you, Brother Gabe. I don't know how he does, but let me tell you, he is a paper tiger. Amen. He is a paper tiger. Amen. I believe that you can still have victory, right? Hallelujah. I know he's going to fight. We're in a war. We're in a battle. Amen. But he's no more than just a paper tiger. Amen. And some of you need to put him to the test today. You need to say, listen here. Amen. Satan, you're done. I'm through with you. Amen. And I'm going forward to victory. I am not going to sit back any longer. Amen. And be fooled. Amen. By this imaginary force that opposes me. Amen. Do you believe God today? Do you believe God? Do you believe His word is true? Hallelujah. Why don't you stretch your hand to heaven? Amen. Ask the Lord to move in your life right now. Satan, you're a liar. Satan, you are a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus says I can be delivered. The blood of Jesus says I can be forgiven. The word of God says I can be healed. The word of God says that God is my provider. Amen. He will meet every need. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. In this world you shall have tribulation. Amen. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. You can have victory tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, give us victory tonight. Give us victory tonight. Hallelujah, if you're here tonight and you feel like you've been facing the paper tiger, amen, I want you to come and press on through to victory tonight. Why don't you just come and stand at an altar? Amen. And say, Satan, amen, I'm going to have victory tonight. Amen. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. I'm going to have victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Step out right now. Amen. And watch the enemy crumble. Step out right now and watch. Hallelujah. As you put the enemy under your feet today. Hallelujah. Satan, you're a liar. Satan, you are a liar tonight. Oh God, I know that you can move in my life. I know that you'll work in my life. I know that you'll save my children. I know that you'll work in my family. I know that you'll work in my marriage. I know, God, that you're going to work. Amen. Satan is a liar. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Church, come with me if you would tonight. Come to this altar tonight. Let God help you.
Hallelujah.
The victory.
Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you.